This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here today. We take a look at Douglas Cares on today's program, and Executive Director Sarah Wickersham, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me today.
So you've got a big special series of things going on, essentially kind of unveiling a capital campaign right now. Talk about it.
That's right. We have come to the determination that we need a permanent home in order to provide the highest quality services for the children and families that we take care of at our agency. So we are embarking on our Unlock Your Inner Hero campaign, where everybody in Douglas County can find ways to be a hero in the life of a child. We're looking to raise $3.2 million for the purchase and remodel of our building so that we can expand capacity. This will give us an additional 10 rooms in which to do forensic interviews, a second room to do medical exams, many more therapy rooms so that we can really expand the services that we provide.
So are you staying, do you have to acquire some adjoining property, or is it all on the footprint of what you have already?
So we currently occupy half of the old Cancer Center building, and our neighbors, CASA, occupy the other half. So when we purchase the building and begin the remodel, what we will do is expand into the other half of the building and make it one cohesive unit.
And just so people can frame it up, if they don't know, tell them where you're located.
We are on Umpqua Street, right next to the DHS building. We actually share a parking lot with them. So where the old grocery outlet used to be, we're right across from them.
And that building was originally the Community Cancer Center, going back a ways before their newer building, which is not all that new now. But
that's right.
To some people, it still is thought of that way. Mm-hmm. So you've got the space. You've been running for a long time. What are some of the advantages, not only being able to expand, but of buying this?
Well, we have some really, really generous owners that have been working with us for a long time there, and they have made all the allowances in the world you can imagine to make sure that we could continue to meet the needs that we need to meet. But the more money that we have going out to building costs and to keeping things running there, the less we have to support services and programs for the kids that we take care of. So when we own the building, we will be able to put that money toward creating a more trauma-informed space, a physical space, and creating new programs to serve the children better.
And how long have you been looking at this idea of a capital campaign?
Oh, this idea predated me by a number of years. I believe at least 5 years that we have been talking about and generating support and ideas around purchasing this building. We really do feel like it's the best one in the county for our services.
And being right next door to Department of Human Services is kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, it makes it really convenient. Many, many of our clients come through the Department of Human Services, and even those clients who don't originate there end up with some involvement typically because of the nature of the work that we do.
So you're just getting started now on this campaign. Give us kind of a timeline of how long you hope this all takes.
Yeah, we're looking at finishing up with the capital campaign portion of it by July of next year, and we'd love to break ground on the remodel in the spring of 2023.
So, and a remodel, and you said an addition too, right? Or is the addition the extra space?
It's the extra space, the other half of the building. It already exists there. There's just some internal remodeling to do with moving walls around and creating more appropriate spaces to what we need.
So how many staff do you have right now?
We have 16 full-time, oh, sorry. We have 10 full-time staff and 16 staff total.
Wow. So a lot going on. And I know for some people, when you think of a subject matter like what you guys do, that seems like a lot of people, but maybe that exemplifies how big the issue is.
Yeah. Douglas County is... There's certainly a high degree of concern for child abuse here. We rank one of the we get one of the highest numbers of child abuse reports in the state of Oregon, and that number runs up to around 3,000 reports a year. So even if we only see a fraction of those kids, it takes the full team that we've got and a few more to meet the whole need that our county has.
And so this is one of those times where coming up high or coming, you know, placing high is not something you really want.
No, this is one where we don't want to outrank everybody else in Oregon. But we really do see a future for this community where everybody comes together and addresses this problem at the root, and that we all take care of our families together.
So as you help these folks out, kind of talk about the process of how does somebody actually get there?
Yeah, that's a great question. Our referrals typically come from the different law enforcement agencies in Douglas County. So the Sheriff's Office, Winston PD, Sutherland PD, Roseburg PD, Myrtle Creek PD. They send referrals to us to have what's called a forensic interview conducted after they have some reason to suspect that there's been abuse or neglect in the life of a child. And the other place that our referrals come from is child welfare themselves. So they're the ones who actually receive all those reports. They send a child to us, and we schedule a forensic interview and sometimes a medical exam. So that would be looking for physical evidence of the abuse or the neglect. After that process has been completed, we have a really amazing family advocate who helps the family go through the whole scary process of our services. And then if it ends up going to court, the family advocate can sit right there with the family through that and walk them through that process. And ultimately, we try to channel as many children as we can into our robust treatment therapy program so that the whole family can heal from the disruption and the trauma of having experienced this event.
I would imagine that this therapy can be a very lengthy process sometimes.
It can be, yeah. We average around, depending on the child, 8 to 12 months in treatment. Some children end up spending a lot more time in treatment or come for a short time, leave, and come back as new things kind of erupt or come to the surface in their lives.
And the complexity of this as well can be that sometimes family or extended family is involved on the abuser side.
Yes, it is definitely a delicate walk in many times. People who have been accused of hurting their children generally are not allowed on our sites because it just makes it so much harder for a child to tell their story. We do really love to be part of the reunification process down the road once DHS has been working with the family to build them up to be able to better care for their children. And then we welcome them back in to do those long-term services and reunify.
And my understanding, too, is that in at least a certain percentage of cases, people that are, we might call them the offender at this point, were themselves victims when they were kids.
Yeah, there is definitely mounting evidence that trauma begets trauma, that people who had experienced these kinds of things as children are sometimes the ones who reoffend when they become adults and have their own children. And there are a thousand different reasons for that. Some of them just never learned how to care for children in healthy ways. Others know and really, really want to, but the stress gets the better of them because one of the things that trauma does to us is it makes us less resilient to stress and it makes us more likely to act out under the under stressors.
So for the people that are interviewing the victims, the kids, it's got to be a lot of sensitivity and a lot of training to know how to do that right.
Yeah, it takes extensive training. Our lead forensic interviewer has a master's of social work. She has been a CSWA for, I think, over a year now. She is getting ready to take her test for licensure. And on top of her her social work degree, she has had extensive training in forensic interviewing. It is a really delicate process, and it needs the evidence that we pull together through that process needs to be able to stand up in court. So we need to be very careful that we're not leading the witness, we're not putting ideas into their the child. We're not putting ideas into their head. We're not encouraging them to give us an answer that they think we want to hear because children can be really susceptible to that. So it's a very specialized field, and our people are trained to do that work.
Douglas Cares, working on a capital campaign. More about that when we come back. Sarah Wickersham, the executive director of the Interview a Podcast, after 1 at 541radio.com. 1246 inside Douglas County, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1, Umpqua Valley Live at 4. And on Monday's program, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer will talk about COVID-19 topics, but also monkeypox and some other things as well on Monday's program. Sarah Wickersham with us today, Executive Director of Douglas Cares. And you've been there how long?
I had just passed my 1 year mark.
So how do you feel like the first year is gone and, oh, you came in the middle of a pandemic too?
Well, it's certainly been a big learning curve. I have gotten to know the team there, and that's been really, really rewarding and wonderful. The capital campaign has been the top of my list since I got in, and we're just really excited to be able to kick it off now.
And what was your background before you got in there?
I have a master's degree in psychology. I have worked extensively in Douglas County with youth and children of all ages and their families, building home lives. The most recent position right before Douglas Cares was overseeing the treatment facilities with the Douglas County Juvenile Department. While I was there, we had up to 35 beds of children, almost all of whom were in the foster system, and had been in and out of multiple placements throughout their time in the foster system, and behaviorally were not stable to be in the community. So our major goal was to help them stabilize and return to family settings.
And what about CARES attracted your attention in terms of a future place to work?
I have long believed in and supported the foster children in Oregon and creating better outcomes for them. One of the things that I love about Douglas Cares is that we are able to impact a family and a child right on the ground floor. We can't prevent the report that brought them to us, but we can prevent any future reports if we do our job really, really well. And that will keep kids from getting further into the system. It will keep kids from getting into residential treatment like the ones that I saw at the juvenile department. And all in all, we can hope to achieve better outcomes by starting the treatment early.
Now, you're working on this capital campaign idea. Mm-hmm. I mean, $3.2 million is a big number, but your organization is used to raising money in terms of funding. Talk about how you're funded.
We are funded for a pretty diverse sources. We get funding from federal grants designed to help victims of abuse or victims of crimes. We get a significant amount of money through that. We also are funded by other smaller grants through foundations and things like that. Many of our services that we offer are billable services. So the CANS assessments that we do, the mental health therapy, the skills training, even the forensic interviews and medical exams are billable services. So that helps supplement the income that we need to provide the services that we do.
So as you looked at this $3.2 million number, are you ever a little daunted by that?
A little, but I believe in our community. I believe that every citizen in Douglas County wants to see the work that we do thrive and succeed.
And what are you going to do in terms of connecting with people and organizations? Obviously, to raise this amount of money, you've got to go a lot of places, probably do a number of events.
Yeah, we're in the planning process of a number of events throughout the year. We're looking at something like a gala. We're doing some community fair activities where we can bring families along, dinners. Just please be on the lookout for these different events and celebrations in the future. We will put out those save the dates as soon as we get them established, and we'd love to see every one of you there.
Well, and you know, the community has seen a lot of fundraising events over the years. You just think about the last 10 or 12 years and how many things have gotten built, how many things have gotten funded. And for an area of, you know, 120,000 or less in the county, sometimes it's pretty daunting that all this has gotten pulled off.
Yeah, we have a really amazing community. I stand by this county and the work that we do when we pull together. I believe in our citizens, and I know we can do it.
And when you look at the future of that, now, if you were able to break ground in the spring of next year, mm-hmm. what do you think time-wise to get everything done?
We're looking for this remodel to be 6 months if things go really, really well, and maybe up to a year. We are thinking that we're probably going to need to rent another space in order to provide services during the remodel year.
That's an interesting thing. You think about doing an interview or whatever with a jackhammer in the next room. Probably not all that helpful. And so, okay, so that adds to things as well. So mm-hmm. that gives you one more thing. So maybe even at least part of your staff being somewhere else for a while.
Yeah, for sure. We will need a different space to provide services.
And do you have kind of a master design of what you want this to look like when it's done yet?
We do. We have had our architect Pivot in Eugene draw up some plans for us. They helped us design a really functional space where we put our forensic team really located symmetrically on one side of the building, and then our mental health and treatment team on the other, so that we can kind of divide up the way that our clients flow through the spaces, and also prevent some of the re-traumatization that our mental health clients might face if they were to, say, walk by the medical exam room and then remember how scary it was when they had to come to us the first time.
Yeah, it seems like mm-hmm. something like this, being mm-hmm. well thought out, just in basic functionality, but in the fact that you really are kind of in two or three different spheres of what you're doing and kind of keeping those more separate.
Yeah, that's right. And we do believe that it will be helpful for our children to be able to separate as they move through our buildings.
Wow. So you've got a lot ahead here. You've got a board. Talk about how they're involved in this.
The board has been foundational in designing this campaign, in looking for spaces where we might be able to rent in the future, and in deciding that this building is really the one that we want as our long-term home. They are currently walking through this process, building their own contacts, helping us find foundations to talk with about the capital campaign and where to find the funding. They really have been at the table for the entire process and have guided me through it.
Now, how many people do you have on your board?
Oh, we have 9 people on our board. We expanded recently.
What kind of backgrounds do they have?
Oh, they're very diverse. We have a financial manager on our board, a retired teacher, a retired emergency room nurse who, has that incredible medical background. We have a bank manager. We have the Foster Parent Association board chair, who is also on our board. She has been integral in uplifting the voices of foster children and children who've been served by the system in Oregon for many years, and we are grateful to have her on our board. We have another retired executive director of Phoenix School, who brings that education background. And then we have the Native American and homeless liaison from Douglas ESD, who is able to really speak to the needs of children in Douglas County who are hardest hit by all the different factors that we go through.
$3.2 million, that's the goal. Capital campaign is underway. If people want to find out more, how do they contact you?
You guys can all visit our website, www.douglascares.org. And you can find out all the different ways that you can support, but there's also a donate button right on our website.
Sarah Wickersham, Executive Director of Douglas Cares, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.